You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what up? Eddie Pascal here at the Beat Lab, 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. Another episode of Upon Further Review with, per usual, producer Trav here on the ones and twos. So before we get into it, Raider Nation, I got to be honest. I think of myself, I like to fancy myself as a happy man, a man who doesn't let the weight of the world get him down. The non-believers, the naysayers. I like to think that I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing that kind of stuff and not letting it get to me. But I'm going to keep it 100 with you guys. I'm pretty angry. I am angry for one reason, split into two different paths, that neither Jared Cook or Rodney Hudson was a Pro Bowler, was named to the 2018 Pro Bowl in Orlando. And that bummed me out. I'm very much on the record with my feelings towards the National Football League and things that they do produce, thoughts on occasion. And I've thought about it a lot. I just don't understand. I don't get how the powers that be could take a look at Jared Cook and Rod Hudson's year and deem them unworthy to go to the Pro Bowl. I do not understand it. Now, here's the two defenses that I've gotten from people who are siding with the league and their decisions. Number one. Oh, well, you know, the Raiders haven't had that great of a year, so yada yada. No. Listen here. The Pro Bowl is to honor individual accomplishments. That's what it's there for. You're not sending teams to the Pro Bowl. The best teams in the NFL go to the playoffs. The best players in the NFL go to the Pro Bowl. And you cannot tell me, you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that Rod Hudson and Jared Cook are not two of the best players at their position in the NFL. So that's defense number one. Defense number two, as far as Jared Cook is concerned, but Eric Ebron had more touchdowns than Jared. So that's why he should go. And look, I have no hate in my heart for Eric Ebron. I've never met Eric Ebron. I'm sure he's a great man. Is he deserving to go to Orlando? Absolutely. He's had a heck of a year. That's it. Jared Cook, with his 63 receptions for 848 yards and six touchdowns, for a tight end, six touchdowns, not only are they career highs for Jared, but Jared has been the de facto number one option for this offense all year, essentially. All year. And my argument would be, not only did Jared have more receptions than Mr. Ebron, not only did he have nearly 200 more receiving yards than Mr. Ebron, opposing defenses knew every Sunday that the Raiders wanted to give Jared Cook a chance to eat. Headed into every week, people knew this. I knew this. Producer Trav knew this. Everyone here knew Jared Cook had to eat for the Raiders to be successful. And as you know, I'm not a football guy, quote unquote. I'm not going to pretend to you, to lie to you, that I'm an X's and O's schematic master. So if I knew that the Raiders wanted to get Jared Cook the ball, you can bet your bottom dollar that the opposing defensive coordinators knew that Jared Cook was going to get the ball. And all year, Jared Cook ate. He was hungry, he was famished, and week after week after week, he ate. He ate to the tune of 848 yards. He's going to go over 1,000 if I were a betting man, and he deserves a spot in Orlando. That's it. That's all I have to say about that. I was upset this week. I've been carrying around this weight, and I hate feeling like this. Because like I said, I'm a pretty positive, you know, we're going to do the best we can, and we're here to be proud of our guys regardless. And I know that the season hasn't gone the way that we've expected, but you know what? I had faith in the system, and maybe that's my fault. Maybe that's on me, Producer Trav, that I believed that justice would, you know, would work itself out and the right things would happen and Jared and Rod would end up in the Pro Bowl. But I guess not. So that was a bummer. I'm done, though. I've spoken enough. I'm going to get myself all worked up into a tizzy here on a beautiful, beautiful Thursday afternoon at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway. Anyways, back to the pod. We're going to return to some housekeeping. Yes. So since we last spoke, a lot. It's just we're wheeling and dealing, baby. Never stopping. So since we last spoke, let us begin. Martavis Bryant was suspended indefinitely. Do not know the next time we will be seeing him. Rico Gafford and Gabe Wright have been promoted to the active roster. So congratulations to both of those guys. Very fired up. Much deserved. The corresponding moves for that, Gabe Jackson got put on IR. A huge bummer. Gabe is one of our favorite dudes here. He's been here, honestly, since as long as Producer Trav and I have been here. Gabe is... We've seen a lot of things with Gabe. Gabe has been our guy, and we're open about how much we root for him to do well. So to see him have to finish the last 2 weeks on the shelf, kind of a bummer, but all about getting the big fella healthy. Emmanuel Lemour was also waived the same day that Gabe Wright came up. Kayson Collins, if you remember him, he was with us earlier this year on the practice squad. He has returned to the practice squad, and in a move that everyone on the internet is talking about, everyone and their mom's got an opinion on, Nathan Peterman, also now on the Raiders practice squad. And I will just echo what Coach Gruden said. Mr. Peterman is on the practice squad. He's not on the active roster. His performances have resulted in a lot of opinion. We'll say that. Definitely had his ups and downs in Buffalo earlier this year. And, you know, Coach said, you know, we're going to give him a shot, see what he's got through the offseason program, hopefully. And I think it's also just important to point out that A.J. McCarron, our usual number two on the depth chart, just had a baby. So congratulations to A.J. and his wife, baby number two. Blessings to Cash McCarron. So he is in Alabama with his wife, taking care of the little one, enjoying the beauty that is a Christmas blessing of a new life. So you need someone to help run practice, man. It's just the way it is. And Coach Gruden, when Mr. Peterman was coming out, pretty high on his skill, his ability. And if there's one guy who can turn a quarterback around, who can show him the right way to do things, who can really get the most out of him, it's going to be Coach Gruden. So, like I said, Nathan Peterman, not on the 53. I know it's been a point of confusion out there on Twitter and the Wild West that is the internet the past couple of days. But just on the practice squad, one of the 10 guys on the practice squad. And I would expect A.J. McCarron, come Monday night, to be your number two quarterback. Looking back at Sunday real quick before we completely shift ahead to Monday Night Football and everything that is great about primetime television. The Silver and Black fall 30-16, Paul Brown Stadium, in what was kind of a weird game. The flow of the game was not there. It was two offenses that for a lot of the afternoon had a really hard time finding any type of cohesion, any movement, any type of synergy. And really, with a patchwork offensive line that the Raiders had, Chaz Green and Denzel Good step in on the inside at guards, or the two guard positions, I should say. And, you know, really did a not bad job, all things considered. Coach Gruden and Derek praised them after the game, saying, look, these guys were put in a tough position, and they performed pretty well. And I'm sure there's things that they would like to have back, as all 53 would on Sunday, or 46, but... Look, I mean, you look at the game, and, you know, they weren't the reason why the Silver and Black took an L. You look back, and, man, it was kind of weird in the sense that Joe Mixon got his 129 yards. They just fed him because, I mean, no disrespect to Jeff Driscoll, but he was just not the kind of playmaker that you've kind of become accustomed to seeing under center in the NFL. And so for good reason, the Bengals fed Joe Mixon, and Joe Mixon ate. He was famished. But it's kind of weird thinking back, you know, the past 2 weeks, really, when we've watched what the Raiders have done defensively. They've done a really, really good job at taking away the opposing running back. But for whatever reason, Joe Mixon, it just wasn't the case in Cincinnati. And, you know, his big day, 27 carries, 129, the two touchdowns. I mean, it's hard to win a game when a team is really controlling the line of scrimmage like that. And unfortunately, that's a big reason why the Raiders flew home with a loss in tow. And I think it's important to realize, though, And I know we've talked about this a lot this year, and I know it sounds very much like a broken record that, you know, this year, while the results haven't been there, there's certainly things to take away. There's positives that, you know, you get to a point in the year and you realize, okay, the win-loss record is not going to be where we'd like it to be. But you look at this game on Sunday, patchwork offensive line, the whole deal, and the Raiders were there. They were in the game, down by a score with, what, five and a half minutes left? I mean, the game was there for the taking. And unfortunately, it just, you know, it couldn't be had. But things that I was impressed by or things that I thought were good, the DBs, Raiders DBs, again, another really nice game. Limited Jeff Driscoll to 130 yards, 14 of 33. I mean, most times, if you can have the opposing quarterback miss more passes than he makes, hold him to 130 yards, force an interception. I mean, that usually, you know, bodes pretty well for you. So the DBs, I thought, played really well again. And Daniel Carlson, my man, Cash Money Carlson, young Moolah baby Carlson, out there again. Hit another one from 50. Dude has been an epiphany for this Raiders team. I mean, he has been stellar since he took over. He's missed one kick. He hasn't missed a kick since the San Francisco 49ers game on Thursday Night Football, which seems like 9 months ago. Hasn't missed a PAT. Perfect from 50-plus. Knock on wood. Thank you, Travis. But, man, you know, Coach Gruden's talked about it a lot, and he goes, I hope this, you know, Carlson's really making a case for being the guy here going forward. And at this point, what else do you need him to do, really? He's been stellar. He's been great. You know, he's played really well. He's been that consistent presence in that special teams unit. He's been that kicker that, you know, you just trot him out there and boom, automatic three, automatic PAT. He's been automatic. You don't have to think. Don't have to worry. So I'm excited to see what he does over these final 2 weeks and really kind of put a seal on this job, hopefully, if everything goes to plan. But in terms of guys, another guy that had a really good Sunday is one of our favorites, one of our guys. We love Gabe Jackson. We also love Eric Harris. And Eric Harris, the first time that we had you on this pod, I want to say you were either the first guest or the second guest. You're on very early. But we used to record the podcast in the little equipment room around the corner. Now, obviously, we're here in the lab. But it's been a big year for us, and it's been a big year for you too.
It has, you know, and I would say the first thing is I had my fourth child, my son, and very blessed, healthy pregnancy and birth, you know, and it's been great on the field, you know, opportunity to play some defense, you know, I was labeled as a special teams player, but so it's been good for me.
I know that obviously the team results haven't been there this year. It's not a secret to any of us, but it's been kind of nice for you to get a little shine, to get out, kind of show what you can do. Obviously, the first interception on Sunday. Has it been nice to feel rewarded, I guess, in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but obviously our goal is to win the Super Bowl, go to the Super Bowl, you know, and we talk about team sports. And, you know, if I didn't have the stats I had, I would be okay, you know, winning and everything like that. So, but, you know, individual accolades, it's a good confidence booster.
I mean, you talk about, obviously, we're all here to win football games, right? But what's been the difference for you, I guess, when Coach Gruden came in during the offseason program? You were like one of the first guys that he said, no, Eric Harris, he's going to contribute. He's not just a special teams guy. So what's really been the difference from 2018 for the past couple of years?
Just opportunity and capitalizing on opportunity, you know. What's funny is that I don't think Coach Gruden really knew who I was at first until I started making some plays in OTAs, and he was like, okay, who's this 25 guy? You know, so, you know, just capitalizing on your opportunities.
When do you think Gruden learned your name?
I couldn't even tell you. Sometime during OTAs, though. It went from 25 to E. Harris.
Okay, there you go. Speaking of those opportunities, I'm making the most out of them. First pick on Sunday. Very cool. So first question, where's the ball? Ball still in the locker?
Bob has the ball.
Bob's got the ball.
Bob has the ball, and Gene's going to paint the ball for me, and I'm going to put it in a showcase frame.
Nice. Yeah. Just walk me through it. I mean, I was sitting up in the box, and I was looking down, and I was turning to Kyle as soon as he threw it. I was like, oh, he's going to pick it, because he like came and swooped out of nowhere. So what did you see?
You know, I was just playing the deep half at the time, and, you know, all year around that part of the field, you know, we've been getting kind of similar looks, and there's been opportunities where I was like, dang, I wish I had that back. I knew it was going there. And so I was just, you know, learning from film study and stuff like that. And, you know, I just made a play on the ball. I dropped two this year already, so I was just happy I caught it. You know, I kind of double clutched it, and everybody keeps giving me grief about that. But it's a pick.
So when you go back and you guys watch it in film study or whatever, are guys in your ear like, oh, you double, you know?
Guys are always going to give you a hard time, you know? They'll always give you a hard time, but it's all for fun.
Who gave you the most grief about it? I thought it looked great. I thought it was a great-looking pick, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you one person. I've heard it from a few guys.
There you go. Yeah. So obviously, you've had such an interesting road to the NFL, and obviously an interesting dude, and have had a crazy life and in a lot of really cool ways. But I've always wondered, and I've talked to you a lot, but we've never really talked about this. What's the biggest difference between the CFL and the NFL? Whether it's like playing on the field, Canada, like what's the biggest difference between those two leagues?
I would say the biggest difference would probably be like the three downs.
Mm.
You know, second down up there is third down here. So you're punting on third down, and it's just different. It's just the game's a little faster as far as that. You know, you get to the sideline, you get your adjustment. The offense, if they're struggling, they're going two and out instead of three and out. So you literally sit down, get a drink of water, and then it's like, okay, punt alert. So then you're back on the field already. So it's just in and out constantly.
I guess in terms of like strategy and stuff too, it changes a lot if you have one less down to play with when you're in offense, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure, because you see a lot more passes, obviously. You run the ball and you get stuffed. Now you're in second and 10, really third and 10. So that's probably the biggest difference. That and there's no fair catches in the special team in the kicking game. And then the thing that people get tripped out about the most is at the one point, the rogue. When you kick the ball in the end zone, you know, you see guys kicking it back and forth. Basically, if you miss a field goal and the team doesn't return the ball out of the end zone, the team that missed the field goal gets the point. But if you bring it out of the end zone, you get the ball wherever you get tackled at. So sometimes it's better just to give up one point and have better field position rather than, you know, take it out and have worse field position.
That's interesting. Did you enjoy your time up in Canada?
I did. It was a great experience. I made a lot of really close friends. My head coach and his wife, they're the godparents of our daughter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is it so you went from Canada to New Orleans, right? So how does that how do they even find you up in Canada? Like, are there scouts that go up there and kind of roam the CFL sidelines, or how does that
yeah
whole thing work?
So like right now, you know, a lot of CFL guys are getting workouts for future deals, and I actually had a really good friend, Delvin Bro, who's with the Saints at the time. He put a good word in for me. We were roommates up in Canada for 2 years, and he put a good word in for me. Whole season he was bugging them, check out my guy. They're like, yeah. So season ended, they finally brought me in for a workout, and then I signed.
What's the best Canadian food to eat?
Canadian food,
what's like a post game meal in Canada look like?
I have no clue. I love the poutine up there.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
poutine
fries.
Like to pretend like I'm fancy a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. The poutine fries are pretty good. I can't really think of anything else. It's kind of normal.
Normal food?
Yeah, normal.
This is cold though, right, bro?
Really cold. Yeah.
So this is nothing new. I was complaining to you when you were walking up here. I was like, man, it's cold. This is you guys be soft.
Yeah. You definitely you get used to it a little bit, but it's still really cold.
Yeah. All right, man. So we're gonna play this game with you.
Uh oh.
Santa Harris. Santa. So you're gonna give presents to guys on the team. What you think they would want for Christmas?
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So we're gonna start off. If you're getting,
I feel like I'm judging. Am I judging my team? This is not judging.
No. It's not judging. Yeah. It's just we're all having good fun, right?
Okay.
So what would you get? What do you get Carl for Christmas? Carl Joseph. What do you think he wants for Christmas?
I would get Carl some type of, you know, recovery package. Like send him to a massage place, or he's always taking care of his body. Something like that.
Carl is always, every time I talk to Carl, we have this like little running joke where he's always doing the neck stuff, like necklace, and he's always telling me, you got to get your neck up, bro. You got to get that beefy neck.
Yeah, you see how he hits.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right, what would you get KO for Christmas?
What would I get KO? Man, that's a tough one. I would get KO, I don't know, some type of video game.
Okay, smart. What about Lee Smith? What's Lee Smith getting for Christmas?
You can get Lee anything, country hunting, get him a tractor, get him something. yeah, you can get him whatever he can use outside, really.
All right, Gunther, what are you getting Coach Gunther for Christmas?
I'm getting Coach Gunther. I don't know. I might get him a nice, I don't know. Watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got a nice watch.
Big Jelly. What's Big Jelly getting for Christmas?
Oh, Big Jelly. Big Jelly likes nice things. Whatever's nice, I'll get. Whatever's nice, I'll get Jelly.
All right, DC. What's Derek getting for Christmas?
What's Derek getting for Christmas? Man, it's a tough one.
What do you get the man who has everything?
Yeah, right. I don't know. I would probably give him something. I think he would enjoy something that he can do with his sons. You know,
there you go. That's
not
a good one.
Not necessarily an individual present, but something he can enjoy the family with.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. What about my man Dwayne Harris?
Dwayne, what doesn't he have though? Like Gucci, Louis Vuitton. My car might get declined if I buy him something. some type of clothes.
Okay.
Yeah, clothes, sunglasses, something.
Last one, Jordy Nelson.
What's
Jordy Nelson getting for Christmas?
He'd probably be in the same boat as Lee Smith.
Outdoorsy?
Outdoorsy, yeah. Mm. Something he can use back home in Kansas.
And E-Hair, what are you going to give yourself for Christmas? What's on your list this year?
What am I going to give myself? Nothing, really.
No.
Kind of buy whatever I want. Our biggest thing is we're planning on moving to Florida from Louisiana this offseason. So take care of that, you know, get the family set up in a house and be closer to family.
It's a big move, so, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I guess, well, Louisiana and Florida are kind of close, right?
Yeah, it's about a 3.5-hour drive to where
these guys give me a hard time. Where I like to think I'm like pretty well rounded in like a lot of things, but
for
I'm
sure.
terrible at geography.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude, it is. It is bad.
Really?
It is really bad. When we were in London, I was like, oh, why don't we go? I was gonna like, oh, we could just go check something out. And like, there's like four. That's like four countries away.
Oh man.
And I was like, oh, and it's become a deal where geography is just not my strong suit.
It's okay.
But
as long as you know what they're talking about,
yeah,
you don't have to know where it is.
Exactly.
That's why you have phones.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
Phones.
Thank you, Google. I'm sure they're listening right now.
Yeah.
But so real quick though, before we get you out of here. I know you have this contest, which you told me that I'm not eligible to enter.
I was just kidding.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I know. I won't enter, though. We'll give it to all the fans. So how do the people enter the contest? What's the contest? Just give me the quick synopsis of what you're doing, because I think it's pretty cool.
Well, the big thing, obviously, was just me celebrate my first interception with the fans and everybody that's been supporting the Raiders and myself throughout my throughout the season, you know, in my career. And so basically, you know, just you have to follow me, like it, and tag somebody. Whoever you tag, every tag is a new entry. So at the end, we'll put it in like a random thing that it kind of does all the math for you.
Yeah.
And it picks somebody randomly.
Cool.
So whoever's on the list, whoever's been commenting, will get picked.
Beautiful. I love it. So everyone go out, enter the contest. Real quick, though, last one. Anything better than playing on primetime? Like, I know that we love primetime games, but for you guys, I mean, it just feels, I don't know, it feels a little different, doesn't it?
It definitely does. I mean, you know, my family's always questioned, like, is it on regular TV? Do I have to go to Buffalo Wild Wings? Do I have to go to so-and-so's house because they have the package? So it's like, you know, everybody's at home. Nobody has to go anywhere. It's all on cable. So, you know, so many people have access to watch this game. And it's just big. It's bigger than yourself, you know, and it's special.
Yeah, nothing better than it. All right, man, we will appreciate you. We will see you on Monday night. Sounds weird. The new schedule suite,
the Monday night football thing, you know, it's kind of throwing off the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Like, the end result is really cool,
right.
But, like, the schedule, I mean, you know, because we're living it, but, like, everything's just, it feels weird. Like, I thought today was Wednesday because today's a Wednesday schedule. And
but it's really Thursday, yeah. Is it Thursday?
It is
Friday.
Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
No, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, bro, we appreciate you, man. Good luck, and we'll catch you on Monday.
Appreciate you, Ed.
Thank you to Eric Harris for spending a few minutes with us, obviously. One of the all-time good guys. We're actually talking about who would be on our Mount Rushmore of good guys, and E. Harris is definitely on there. But we move on to everyone's favorite segment, the still sponsorless segment, the victory formation. So I believe our sponsors that we're going to shout out this week, Travis, Rock Bottom Brewery, correct?
Yeah, Rock Bottom Brewery in Campbell, California.
Yep, blessings to them. McDonald's also, Henhouse Brewing, anything else that anyone feels good about? Okay. Well, there it is. Presented by all those people. It's Victory Formation with me, Eddie Pascal, producer Trav on the ones and twos, and our senior esports correspondent / executive director of draft analysis / senior fashion correspondent, the great Kyle Martin Media. And Kyle, before we really kind of get into the meat of this, if you will, I just want to say that it's a blessing to have you here after what was could have been a very scary situation last week.
Scary situation last week.
The message that you received.
Oh boy. Yeah, that have you unveiled to the
no.
listeners what transpired?
No, so we'll get into it. And here's what happened. We're in Cincinnati on Sunday.
Mid-game.
And we're working, you know, doing our thing. And Kyle gets a message from an unknown number, but it was a...
It was an 815 area code, which at first we thought was a Quebec area code.
Sure, but it turned out to be...
Warren, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And it was an image of someone essentially asking, like, hey, you know, you should come hang out or whatever. And in this 2018 world of cyber nastiness, we were like, oh, what could this be? And Kyle, in the spirit of full transparency, I said, Kyle, you should text this person back, explain that perhaps you're not who she expected or something along those lines. And you very wisely, as it turned out, elected to not respond at all.
Yeah, I removed myself from the situation as quickly as I could.
Yes. So it turns out, fast forward today, we get back, and engineer Jim, who does fine work on this podcast, finds a story online about how there's been other people that have received the same message that Kyle did. And they're targeting people in...
It was in the L.A.
In the L.A. area. And yes. Kyle has an L.A. area code, or a Southern California area code.
Correct, yeah.
And essentially, these people are being lured and then kidnapped.
And sold into a certain trade.
Yeah, like a very nasty trade. And let me just say that we could not be happier that did not happen to you.
Oh, 100%. And that is something that would happen to me, knowing my luck. And, oh, boy.
It was scary.
Crisis
averted. So I guess the message out there, the lesson for all you people, hey, if you get a confusing text message from someone you don't know, don't respond.
My mother always told me, don't talk to strangers, and boy, did I listen to her.
Yeah, and thank the big man upstairs you did not, because we would have to find a new co-host for your segment.
Oh, God.
if you'd been removed.
Yeah, not by choice either.
Not by choice. But Kyle, anyways, while we were in Cincinnati, we watched a football game that we ultimately took an L on. But I was telling Trav, we were talking about it earlier, I actually felt pretty good for the fourth, fifth week in a row, somewhere around there, about the play of the Raiders' defensive backs, just overall.
Yeah, I mean, Darrell Worley looked great, as always. He's come on strong late in the season. I know he was a bright spot periodically when he returned from his suspension earlier this year, but I think he's going to be one of our guys going forward.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Darrell's been a stud. Obviously, Garyon gets that concussion, which is no good. Obviously, hope for the best for him down the stretch here. But, I mean, Driscoll was held to 130 yards. I mean,
what did you tell me earlier this week? He had 57. Passing yards after the first half?
I believe so.
He was like 7 and 23.
Let me check my high-level notes here about what Mr. Driscoll completed in the first half. Stand by. Give me 1 second. The beauty of doing it live, as you know, Kyle. In the first half, our guy, Jeff Driscoll, yeah, he had gone 8 for 19 for 57 yards.
A cool 57 yards.
The coolest.
He did a... eventually get the last laugh because he was able to be victorious and hoisted the W over us. But the man couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough for him. A rough day at the office. And a lot of that credits the Raiders DBs for making things pretty challenging for him on Sunday afternoon.
One guy that we couldn't limit, though, unfortunately, Joe Mixon, who is having quite the career. I checked earlier today, he's the fourth leading rusher this season with 955 yards, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna go over 1,000. He's a contributor in the passing game as well, and we saw, as Raider Vito pointed out, he's running down on coverage, doing kicks. I mean, he's really, really doing it all. Nice segue, though, from Mixon to one Phil Lindsay.
Yeah.
A guy that is going to be a problem come Monday night, that the Raiders have got to figure out a way to take out of the old game plan there for the Broncos.
Dude, I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that I was wrong about Philip Lindsay, because for example, the man was in, you know, obviously he's a fantasy stud for people this year, right?
Sure.
And he was probably dropped in my league 4 or 5 times, and he was there for the taking, and not once did I think, oh, well, you know, he might be good at some point. I just passed on him like everybody else did in the NFL.
How was he dropped 4 or 5? He's going to go over 1,000 yards this year.
That's the thing, is that earlier in the season, you know, most people expected him to be sharing time with Royce Freeman.
Yeah, Oregon
great
legend.
Duck.
Yeah.
But Phillip Lindsay just turned on the Jets, and the guy was going off for 100 yards a pop every game. And then now he's just consistently doing it, and it's kind of their guy. I mean, Royce has now turned into the designated goal line back.
Sure.
But Phil Lindsay's getting all the touches. Yeah, and I mean, he's versatile out of the backfield, too.
Yeah, I mean, he really does it all. And we were talking earlier today about how he's a guy that, I mean, first off, he's a great story. I mean, he's, you know, a local kid, goes undrafted, you know, signs with the hometown team, just went got named to his first Pro Bowl. I mean, credit where credit's due. Dude's been a beast. But, I mean, he does a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Where it's he's going to go over 1,000 yards, easy. He's a beast in the run game. He's a guy who returns kicks. I mean, when you think about playmakers, complete playmakers that can do a little bit of everything and are just very dynamic with the ball in their hands, that's Phillip Lindsay.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, like you said, he's got a great story. And as you know, I love to save money. We all do.
Yeah.
Saving money is the name of the game.
Yeah, financial responsibility is what we're all about here.
Exactly. And the thing that cheers me up is that this kid, tearing up the league, and he still lives at home with his mom and dad.
Does he really?
Yeah, dude. He lives in their basement. And he goes home to his parents every game.
Oh, good for him, man.
Right?
But he's just stacking. Oof.
To talk about saving money.
Good God. I hope he's investing.
Yeah.
I hope he's investing heavily.
I hope he has a good financial advisor.
Could you imagine if you didn't have to pay rent for like a year and a half?
Dude, that's one thing that, because all my friends, you know, they still live back home for the most part, and they're working in the area that we grew up in, and a handful of them still live at home. And all I can think about is, I personally can never go back and live at home again. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But if it meant that I could save, oh, my goodness. That's the one thing that frustrates me the most, is that I think about all my friends and how they don't have to spend a dime on bills. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Do you think that their parents, like, make them, hey, kick us $200 a month? Or how do you?
I know a couple of people that pay their parents minimal rent, but still, I mean, what's $600 compared to?
Yeah, 2,500 stacks.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
That's what I'm saying. Imagine what you could be putting that money towards. You could be putting it towards your portfolio.
Yeah.
Which I hope Mr. Lindsay is doing.
Yeah. Producer Trev, could you ever go live back home?
No, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't. I mean, my parents sold their house, so there's literally no room for me anymore.
Yeah, but I think my old room is converted into an office now, so it is no longer usable.
My old room is my dad's art studio now.
Oh, Pub Rick Sr.'s art, real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, Rick Sr. You could also find Rick Jr.'s art on Media Graffiti Studio on Instagram. He's got a lot of work on Etsy. Does a lot of pop culture stuff. Really cool. Big Star Wars guy, Eddie.
Oh.
Does a lot of, you know, X-Wing blueprints.
Oh, okay.
Han Solo artwork. Very talented individual. I don't have the same gifts that my father and my brother do, but...
You have different gifts.
Well, this also sounds very similar to Matt Walks.
Yeah, Matt Walks. Yeah, social media czar Matt Walks. His father, also quite the artist, does a lot of pop culture and Star Wars and
that's
all that kind
think of it. Yeah,
all that kind of stuff. So, unfortunately, we are we just have different gifts, Kyle.
Yeah, different skill sets.
Different gifts. Speaking of movies, though, the natural segue. I got pretty angry. I've been angry today. I was talking about how I was angry earlier about the Pro Bowl situation, and I want to get Trav's take on this. There's going to be a new Men in Black,
yeah.
Men in Black International.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is like, whatever. I mean, will I go see it? Probably not. Will I watch it on the plane in 2 years' time? Sure. Probably. Will it kill 90 minutes? Yeah, most likely. But my issue with it is more of a big picture issue. And Trav is our resident cinephile. Is that how you say it, Trav? Cinephile?
Cinephile.
Cinephile?
Yeah.
Sin. Nasty.
Cine.
Cinephile.
Yeah.
As our resident cinephile, I'm curious for your take. Because
I'm going to go on record real quick. I don't like that word, but let's continue.
Well, it's the word. I didn't come up with the word.
I know. I was just getting my 2 cents in.
That word.
Not a fan of the word.
All right.
Like the way it sounds. It's very creepy.
Fair enough. Our resident movie guy, Trav, how do you feel, because I feel not great about it, it feels to me like every third movie that comes out now is just a remake or part 7 or part 8 of a franchise, of a whatever. And it seems to me there's just such a lack. I don't want to say lack of creativity, because there's obviously like some really good movies that are coming out, and people obviously do like a lot of really cool things. So I don't want to paint with a broad brush. But to me, it seems lazy to make Men in Black international.
Well, Hollywood, I'm with you on this. So Hollywood basically just goes the route they know will make money. So they're going to remake Spider-Man 10,000 times. Men in Black, which probably doesn't need another movie, but they won't give the true artists, you know, the ability to make their movies because they're not sure shot.
It's just, to me, it's lazy. You know what I mean?
Like, very lazy. I'm very anti that style.
Because think about this. I love Will Smith, right? I'm a big Will Smith guy. If you don't ride with Will Smith, I probably don't ride with you. Musically, film, everything. Man. But anyways, like Men in Black, OG, great film, right? Everyone's
love
in here.
It, yeah.
We've all seen it. Great,
yeah,
great film. Men in Black 2, I'll even allow Men in Black 2.
Was that the one with Edgar, or is he the first one?
With who?
Edgar, Sugar and Water, that guy?
It's not ringing a bell for me.
Might be two. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, hold on. Please include Men in Black 3.
Okay, now we're getting to the point where it's like, all right, how many Men in Blacks do we need?
Men in Black 3 didn't come out that long ago, did it?
I didn't even see it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A year or two ago, maybe.
This kind of reminds me of Home Alone, too. There's like five Home Alone movies.
Two of them are good for sure, though.
There's only two in my mind.
There's three, actually, that I know of. But
I looked up today. There's like, I think, four, maybe, actually. But they like started changing the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because the kid was 37 by the
time.
Yeah, McAllister had all. He was done.
Kevin McAllister was doing beer bongs at wherever he was going. You
if
know
you
what
want
I
a
mean?
Good laugh, go watch those trailers on Netflix.
Really?
Or Amazon or whatever. Yeah, they're interesting movies. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know, man. To me, it's just like it's just lazy.
Very
it's like,
lazy.
We don't need another Men in Black. We don't.
No.
Give me a new story.
Yeah, I agree. I get it.
I don't know.
It's
I
all just, about exploring
I'm with
the
you on
universe,
it. I fought,
Eddie.
I fought this for a long time.
Well, don't give up the fight, Trav.
No.
Don't give up the fight.
That's why I have a screenplay just sitting in a drawer somewhere right now.
Did you write it?
Yeah.
Wow.
You and your cousin, right?
Yeah. Someday.
How long is a screenplay?
I think it's 120 pages or something. It's a page a minute.
Have you ever revealed the premise to anybody other than...
I told Eddie.
Yeah. I know the basic premise.
Yeah.
Would you care? No,
no
you,
gonna,
I don't want anybody
gonna,
to steal it.
Yeah,
I don't want anybody
no.
to steal
yeah,
it. Yeah,
it's
no,
a, it's
but
a
I
good
mean,
story
yeah.
though. It's a story that has not been told.
Yes, it. I think it would be. Yeah, okay, yeah. But it's my opinion. You know, great. It'd be a great movie. You know, it'd be better than seeing Spider-Man. You know, for the fifth time.
Well, hold on. So I don't. The Amazing Spider-Man wasn't a fan of that, right? Just let's. We could forget that. Tobey Maguire's the OG.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's the only
yeah,
one in my mind.
That's my Spider-Man.
Yeah,
He's forever going to be my Spider-Man too. But have you seen the new Spider-Man?
No, I refuse to see those kinds of movies because, like, if you can only tell the story once, like Batman. Well, see, Batman's a little different because you got like Dark Knight, which is like a whole different kind of world of Batman.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about Spider-Man. There's Amazing Spider-Man. There's Spider-Man.
It's all the same movie.
I would say that Spider-Man is certainly not of he isn't as dynamic of a character as Bruce Wayne / Batman is.
I feel like you'd find a lot of people that disagree with that statement.
Don't at me.
Do you think that Spider-Man and Batman are, in terms of interest and things that make them special and unique, are on the same... I don't think they're even in the same stratosphere, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm truthfully... But Batman, favorite superhero. I think he's the most realistic, obviously, of all the options. He doesn't really have superpowers.
He's
just a
rich
guy that's
yeah.
got a lot of
exactly.
cool tech.
Yeah.
Sure, right? And he lives this playboy lifestyle, you know, very intriguing. But I think Peter Parker appeals to a lot of people.
Parker's just a nerd.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's got a, his family died. He lives
so
with
did
his.
So Batman's.
Oh, well, you got me there.
I mean, then there's Superman, too, which he's not even
no.
of this world.
Hold on. Superman and Captain America are two superheroes that I refuse to stand with. They're the goody two-shoes, and they have no layers to them. They're just, I can't do it. There's no depth.
Well, Superman's an alien, so, like, he doesn't have, you know, personality.
It just doesn't seem original. It doesn't seem genuine to me. They're not real people. They're this picturesque, perfect human being that doesn't exist.
They're an idea.
Yeah. And that idea is a false lie. It's a lie.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a false hope.
To all you guys listening out there, tweet at us with your Spider-Man, Batman thoughts. I will go to my grave saying that Batman is a superior character, superhero, anything you want compared to Spider-Man. But we digress. Plan on Monday Night Football. How's that for a segue? Nothing better than prime time. It was kind of funny, though. We were talking, Chris Townsend and I, when we did Tuesday Live earlier this week, or Raiders Live on Tuesday, whatever we're calling it these days. But we were talking about our kind of favorite Monday Night Football memories. And it's funny to think, so like for a lot of us, for Trav and I especially, but you too probably, Kyle, because you're a year or so younger than we are. But most of my Monday Night Football memories have Gruden in them.
Yeah.
Just in terms of like coach being in the booth and like all that. And it's kind of funny to think that, oh, wow, now we're playing on Monday night with him on the sidelines.
I'm sure it was, I mean, the Rams game earlier this year, that was a weird dynamic too, because it was his first game, the first Monday Night Football game of 2018 without Gruden.
Yeah,
you know?
Featuring Gruden. Yeah.
But those Gruden Tirico.
Oh, dude, that's probably one of my favorite booths, to be honest with you.
What a duo.
Yeah, like my favorite booth of all time is the John Miller, Dwayne Kuiper, Mike Kruko, Giants booth, because it's the booth, like, I grew up with or whatever, but the Gruden Tirico is right up there.
Tirico does it all too.
Yeah,
he does it all so well. He's one of my, aside from Mike Breen in the NBA, I love when Tirico calls games. My favorite Tirico called game was when Damian Lillard hit that three against the Houston Rockets in the playoffs to lift them to close it out, and Tirico was on the call. I can't remember, but I want to say he hit a Mike Breen. Oh man, I was so fired up. I don't stand with the Blazers, but
no,
I was fired up.
Don't.
Mike Tirico gets the people going.
He does. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting though. It's a fun game, obviously. Last regular season game of 2018 at the Coliseum. Players are gonna be jumping. It's Christmas Eve. The spirits, I'm sure, will be flowing. You know, it'll be a good day, man. I'm excited. Obviously, you know, Christmas is obviously such a weird time for the three of us and everyone in this building, because just the way that it falls during the middle of a week, right? And, you know, we'll have practice Saturday, play on Christmas Eve. We'll have some Christmas stuff to do the following day because it's a post-game day. But it's fun, man. I mean, it presents its challenges for sure, and I'm sure all three of our significant others are not super juiced on the fact that we're playing Christmas Eve. But it's a lot of fun, man. There's nothing better than primetime ball.
Yeah, no doubt. And rumor has it that there's a special guest lighting the torch this week.
I've heard that rumor. We won't divulge any more than that, but you and I, our sources are linked up on that.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get the people fired up.
I think so, too.
Yeah, be in your seats for the torch lighting.
Yeah. Okay, also, real quick, speaking of being in your seats, when we were in Cincinnati, that stadium was about 44% filled.
That's
generous. And no pregame music either.
Yeah, no
pregame
music, which is very bizarre.
No.
I don't want to be with my thoughts pregame.
No. I want to hear.
You got to be locked in.
I want to hear, offset, take off.
You know who was locked in, though, when they finally did start playing music? Defensive coordinator Paul Gunther.
The Gunth.
Eddie and I were standing on the sideline as Phil Collins, Coming in the Air Tonight, started playing. And Paul Gunther walks out from the tunnel slowly.
A slow mist rising off the grass.
His former stomping grounds.
His shades on.
Oh, my goodness. You could see that the man had the eye of the just a beautiful stride. Powerful.
Oh, dude, it was powerful.
I wish we had that in slow-mo.
We have the video. We do have the video. Dicey Dave has the video, but man, it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Just absolutely
stunning.
I think
Gruden came out during that song, too.
Did he?
I could relive that moment a few more times.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
We were so hopeful.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
A beautiful moment. Beautiful. All right, Kyle, we play the game every week. The Raiders will win on Monday night, Christmas Eve, if...
Well, I think the toughest test this week, obviously, is Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and the fact that we are without our two starting guards does not bode well for us, as we saw last week. So I think if we can get some improved play at the guard position and even the tackle positions and keep Derek comfortable to operate, I think we'll be able to take advantage, hopefully. I know the Broncos are also without Chris Harris Jr., one of their defensive leaders. So Derek's going to certainly try to exploit the secondary a little bit, but if you can't stop Bradley Chubb, who's got 12 sacks, and Von Miller, who's got 14 and a half sacks, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. You got to give Derek time to work. I mean, we've talked about it, what is this, week 16? We've probably talked about it for 11 or 12 weeks. When Derek's got time to rock and roll, he is pretty darn good. When he doesn't, it's hard. He's a different player. It's, you know, we're not saying anything. No one doesn't know. I think my key is it's got to be stopping Phillip Lindsay. That's going to be it. I mean, you look at this Broncos offense. No Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, Case Keenum has had an up and down year. I think that's fair to say. Had some really good moments. Had some moments that are not so good. But Phil Lindsay has just been that dude all of 2018.
Yeah.
So if the big boys up front can clog up those holes, make sure he's got nowhere to work, you keep an eye on him and out of the backfield too. You limit him. I like your chances. I certainly do.
Last time we played them too, they had Demaryius Thomas.
That's right.
Who's now a Texan.
That's right. It's a different team, man. I mean, you remember, we played them week two. That was literally a season ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's two different teams that are, unfortunately, neither are going to go to the postseason, but still have a lot to play for. And obviously, when you get in the division and you're hanging out and you want to, you know, have AFC West bragging rights, I mean, that means a lot. I know that means a lot to the players and it means a lot to the coaching staff. Taking care of business in the division, and if we were able to win on Sunday, first division win of 2018, if I'm not mistaken.
Boy, that'd be something.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'd like to throw this in. I love that when we discuss players and matchups and stats here on upon further review, they're never PFF stats. We don't use grades here. We use cold, hard facts. You've got the game book from last week.
I am looking at the numbers.
I looked at the NFL overall stats, the real stats, earlier today for Bradley Chubb, Phillip Lindsay, all those dudes. We don't go by grades here.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the game, brother.
Yeah, it's the game tape. Yeah. Right?
The eye in the sky don't lie.
No.
It doesn't. And on that very powerful note, we're out of here. Hope that everyone has a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, all that jazz. Thanks for riding with us per usual. And like Trav said, pretty cool stuff going to happen on Monday night in terms of the torch and things of that nature, so make sure you're there early. Make sure you're bundled up and you stay warm.
Bring a blanket.
Bring a blanket.
Dry, too. I think it's supposed to rain.
Yeah. Poncho season.
Poncho season. But, yeah, get there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't wait. So for me, Eddie Pascal, for Kyle Martin, for Eric Harris, for Engineer Jim, for Producer Trav, that's it, baby. We're out of here. We got one more next week. Trav, you know what our schedule is for next week at the top of your head, or are we just going to fly by the seat of our pants?
Probably just kind of fly.
Yeah, let's fly, baby. That's what we do best.
Should be normal Thursday, though, yep. My guess.
Yeah, we'll just fly. Yeah. So that said, Merry Christmas. Say hi to your loved ones. Give them a hug and a kiss. Tell them all of us over here at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway say what up, and we will catch you next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.